Praise God. Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 5, which I'm sure we're all familiar with, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Praise God. Good word, brother. Now for the hard part. We need to learn to trust. It's one thing to say trust in the Lord, but what does that look like? I want to tell you about this guy in the Old Testament. You've probably heard of him. His name's Gideon. So here you got Gideon, and he's in the wine vat threshing wheat because the enemy was looking at the threshing floor because that's where he should have been threshing wheat. So he's hiding from the enemy because every time the harvest comes in and the Jews would begin, or Hebrews at the time, would begin processing the harvest, the enemy would come in and take it away from them. So he's hiding, and he's there in the wine vat, where they crush out the grapes, and he's threshing the wheat. And an angel shows up and says, "Hail, mighty man of valor!" And he looks around. What are you talking about? And the angel tells him that God has called him to deliver His people of Israel. And he says, "There's a problem." He says, "My family's the least in the tribe. My tribe's the least in Israel. My family's the least in the tribe, and I'm the least in my family. And you're calling me." And the angel of the Lord told him to go cut down the sacred grove for the pagan idol that his father was a priest of, by the way. Cut down the grove and sacrifice the sacred oxen to God, because God was going to do a mighty thing. And he did it. And then when the people showed up, they were a little upset. "Here, our sacred grove is cut down. The thing sacred to our little g God," or to them, big G God, but the wrong God, "the things sacred did have been sacrificed to another god," and they wanted to kill him. And his father, who was the priest to this idol, said, "Now wait a minute. If this god that we've been worshiping allowed this stuff to happen, he's the one that should be able to, he should be able to get justice out of it. We shouldn't have to act on his behalf." How many times has God told us to do something and it's absolutely outrageous and we just jump up and do it? Not me.
Try.
Not me. Think about the angel talking to Gideon and Gideon being willing to do what he called him to do. I look at that and I look at my own life and I'm like, okay, I'm convicted because I fall short. Because there's things that God has told me to do that I'm reluctant to do. There's things that God has, put me in a situation, and I know what the Word says, and I know that the Bible tells me that he that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. And I see opportunities to do good and I mess them up because I've got my own agenda. Maybe you've got your own agenda. Maybe you've got your own understanding of how things ought to go. We need to learn to trust God. Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 5, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Do we? Not always. "Lean not on your own understanding." I have a hard time with this. I'm always figuring things out. A statistic was done not too terribly long ago, and I know, figures don't lie, but liars figure. You've heard that? 78% of all statistics are made up on the spot. You've heard that one too? But a study was done, a statistic was done, And it says that about 70% of people consider themselves to be above average. Guess what?
20% are wrong.
At least. They could all be wrong. You know that, right? But at least 20% are wrong.
50% could be wrong. 20% have to be right.
Good point. Yeah.
Sorry,
praise God. That works. You're a math nerd. You know, I'm a semantics guy. I get that. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Who of us needs God to direct us and heal us? Guess what? We need to learn to trust God. How do we learn to do that? One thing we do is we look at God's track record. Can you name one time in your life where God was not faithful? Because I sure can't. I can name lots of times He didn't do it on my timetable. That's not the same thing as saying God hasn't been faithful. God has always been faithful in my life. If God hadn't kept me, if God hadn't brought me through, I wouldn't be here today. We've all gone through things that could have incapacitated us, crippled us, killed us.
Amen.
And here we are. Because God still has a plan and a purpose. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Do we have perfect peace? Why not? Because we're not trusting in God. We look at our situations. We try to figure things out in our own mind. We go through all the possible scenarios. We figure everything out. Nothing lines up. One rule from military strategy is no battle plan survives first contact with the enemy. We can sit there and figure things out, but we've always not understood the whole situation. There's more going on than what we can see. So if we trust God to bring us through the circumstances, to bring us through the situation, God to keep us no matter what happens, then we have a faith and a confidence in that. That our circumstances, while they may be unpleasant, while they may be pleasant, it doesn't matter what they are. If God is in control and God is leading us and God is working in us, then God's going to bring us through it. And if we take any sliver or any snapshot of that, we don't have the whole picture. You've heard the story of I think it's from Russia. It's folk story where a young man was going to go work with a horse, and the horse kicks him and breaks his leg. And the village people say, such bad luck for you. The horse broke your leg. And he says, we only know that the horse broke my son's leg. We don't know if it's good or bad because we haven't heard the story yet. And then a war broke out, and all of the young men who were hale and healthy were drafted, became conscripts, taken into battle. And the neighbor said, oh, you're so lucky your son has a broken leg and didn't get sent off to war. Again, we only know that he didn't get sent off to war. We don't know if it's lucky or if it's good or bad because we don't know the story. The story goes on. I don't remember all of it. But you get the picture. We take a look at one little section of a situation and try to make a great big grand judgment on it, rather than trusting that God is the one who's involved. God is the one who's directing our steps. God is the one who's leading us. 2 Timothy 1, beginning with verse 8. And we've read this recently, but Paul, talking to Timothy, says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His purpose and the grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Paul says, God has shown himself faithful. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded. How do you get persuaded? You ever think about that? How do you get persuaded? You get persuaded by somebody talking to you and you seeing evidence time and time again. Paul said, I've seen the evidence that God is faithful. And if God has been faithful this far, he will continue to be faithful because it's who God is. I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. Paul is somebody who had learned to trust God. You look at the testimony of Paul's life, you look at the different things he went through. It's in, what, 2 Thessalonians, not the one we're about to read, but in 2 Thessalonians where he talks about a day and a night I spent in the deep, 3 times shipwrecked, I've been 3 times beaten with rods, given 39 stripes, save one. Let down twice in a basket out of the city walls. The different things that happened to Paul. And he says, but still, I am persuaded that he is faithful. God has shown himself to be faithful in my life. God has shown himself to be faithful in all of our lives. As we learn to trust God and continue to learn. How many of us learn the lesson first time every time? Nope. Look at all them no hands. It's a continual thing. Think about Jonah for a minute. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. So Jonah promptly heads off in the wrong direction. But later, when he's talking about it, after God had saved Nineveh, Jonah's mad because I didn't want to come in the first place because I know that you are righteous and I know that you are merciful. After everything Jonah went through, he was mad because God was merciful to somebody else. But he knew that. How do we get persuaded? How do we know these things? How do we learn these things? We see God faithful time and time and time again in our own lives and the lives of the people around us. When we read a scripture that says, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We should rejoice. Not only in our own lives, but in the lives of people around us. But so many times we, like Jonah, will see a wicked person. Like, get him, God. That's not the heart of God. That's not what he's called us to do. How about, Lord, touch him and change him in heart? Think of how wonderful an ally this person would be. A strong and outspoken witness and a testimony to the power of God. If God will touch and turn their hearts. That should be our prayer. God has shown himself faithful in my life, in your life, in all of our lives. Let's root for God to be faithful in the lives of other people and draw them by his Spirit. And hearts and lives be changed. We want to change this world. Let's start changing this world by praying for God to touch, work in people's lives. Trust that God is able to. Trust that he desires to draw people to himself. It's not his will that any should perish. You know, the Calvinites and the Calvinists and the Armenians, I believe that's who it is. You know, I don't have a seminary degree. I don't have a seminary class. But I've been around the block a time or two. But the old argument is it free choice or are we predetermined? And if we say only those predetermined will come to know the Lord, okay, but who are we to say which one is and which one isn't? So we should be praying for everybody. We should be lifting everybody up. Whether or not people turn to God, God knows if they're going to or not. Or, as the one group says, God knows You know, if it's just a waste of time talking to them. Or God has picked that one, so they're going to turn no matter what the situation is. Or God hasn't picked that one, so they're never going to turn no matter what the situation is. But our job is to pray for everybody. Our job is to lift up the people we encounter. Our job is to be a light and a witness. Our job is to learn to trust that God knows what He's doing, even when we don't. 2 Thessalonians 3, beginning with verse 3, says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you will do, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts in the love of God and into the patience of Christ." Paul talking again, this time to the Thessalonian church. He says, God's going to take care of you. God is faithful. The Lord is faithful and will establish you and guard you from the evil one. He has learned that. We talked about that. How Paul had learned these things. Paul told Timothy, "I am persuaded." Now the Lord keep you. The Lord will guide you. The Lord will bless you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. All of these things Paul says to the church. God has shown Himself faithful. To the point where Paul was able to go through the things that he was going through. He says, "I don't count myself to have obtained, but I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I'm focused on Him. Because God has shown Himself to be faithful in all ways. But Paul's not the only one who knew the faithfulness of God. In 2 Samuel 22, beginning with verse 29. This is also in the Psalms, by the way, because it's a Psalm of David. You'll recognize it. For you are my lamp, O Lord. Your light shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against the troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. And who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me in my high places. David says, God is the one who gives me strength. Also in this thing is this, He's the one who teaches my hand to war. He is the one who gives me the wisdom to do things. He is the one who's working in me. And He has been faithful all the time. Remember when David saw Goliath coming out and insulting God and the armies of God? And he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" And he wanted to go out into battle. And Saul says, "Well, you need to take my armor." And the armor was a whole lot more than David could put on and carry. And Saul was a big boy. Scripture says he was head and shoulders above everyone else in Israel. And that was when he was a nobody. So it's not like he was a rich and powerful person, and God, they was described that way. He was a young man and hadn't been anointed king at that point. But it says he was head and shoulders above the rest of Israel. And David says, "I can't do this. I can't use your armor. I can only go in what I had." But he said, "Just as God helped, directed my hand, and I killed the lion, and I killed the bear, this Philistine won't be any different." He said, God has already proven that He's going to take care of me, and God's going to work in this situation too. David learned as a young man to trust God. Didn't mean David was always right. We know that. Each and every one of us. We may not always be right. We may not always do the right thing. But it doesn't change the fact that God has shown Himself faithful each and every time we've trusted Him. And just like Paul had said, "I know and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him." Paul says, he's shown Himself faithful. How many of us can say God has shown Himself faithful in our life? God has always shown Himself faithful in our lives. He continues to direct us and continues to lead us. But how do we do it? How do we grab our minds around the fact that we need to keep going and keep trusting? We have to go back. I talk often about setting up those stones of those pillars of remembrance, just like they used to do in the Old Testament. They would put up a pile of rocks and said, "This is where God did so and so." Bethel, where God spoke to Jacob Jacob had his dream, Jacob's ladder, and said, surely this is the house of God. Bethel, house of God. Surely this is the house of God, and I didn't know it. And he set up the stones as a remembrance. When the children of Israel, when they had left Egypt and they came through the Jordan into the promised land, and the priests were told, the young men were told to pick up stones, and they came across and they built an altar that it would be a remembrance of what God had done. We set up things in our life, milestones, or pillars of remembrance to go back and recognize what God has brought us through. Do we go back and review our testimony from time to time and show how God has been faithful in so many different ways in our life? Because He has certainly been faithful in my life. Last passage of Scripture, Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We want that peace, that trust. Recognize that if we commit it to the Lord, God's the one taking care of it. If we surrender it to the Lord, He is the one guiding. If we lay our lives, we lay our families, we lay our everything that we have on the altar of God, say, God, do with it whatever you will. And God will show Himself faithful in our lives. Jim Elliot, one of the famous quotes from Jim Elliot, said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to save that which he cannot lose, to gain that which he cannot lose. As we learn to trust God and commit ourselves to Him, as we turn our lives, our hearts, our circumstances, our families, our finances, everything we have, we turn it over to the Lord and trust that God knows what He's doing. God is the one directing us. He will show Himself faithfully. He will show Himself mighty in our lives. We don't do it just, you know, as people hear about Solomon's prayer. Oh, Lord, I asked for the wisdom to guide these people, and God was impressed with that, and said, because you asked for that instead of riches and the victory over your enemies and long life, then I will give you the wisdom and I will do the other things. So we read our Bible, we see it as, okay, there's the key. No, the key is to trust God, that God has shown Himself faithful, to look back and see, as I put this in God's hands, He took care of it. As I put this in God's hands, He took care of us. As I took my hands and my control off of this situation, God began to show Himself faithful in it. As I read the Word of God, and all of a sudden that morning, the Scripture gets highlighted, or God wrote it in the Bible for me that day, and it happened to pierce my heart that there was something I was doing that I needed to surrender to the Lord. And, you know, in the situation here, I'm talking about holding on to bitterness and anger and not forgiving somebody. But see that Scripture all of a sudden written in there that day and say, this is what your Word tells me to do, and this is what I'm going to act on it. And we begin walking out what God has put on our hearts. As we do that, we learn that God is faithful. And as we've learned that God has been faithful in this area, and God has been faithful in this area, and God has been faithful in this area, and I haven't found an area yet that God is not faithful. And I never will. Because God is faithful. And I recognize that, and I set up these pillars of testimony in my own lives, these milestones, these things that where I can go back and say, God has brought me through this. Why would He go to all the effort to bring me through that mess to leave me in another one? Lord, I lay it at your feet. Lord, I lay it down. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I need your guidance. And as we do that, as we lay our lives at the feet of Jesus, we find that He is faithful. And each and every day is another opportunity to trust Him. Each and every day is an opportunity to draw closer. Each and every day is an opportunity to let Him work in our lives. And every once in a while, you get that pressure turned up and that heat turned up, just like silver and gold are refined. Silver and gold are refined. They take the ore. First, they crunch the ore, and they get all the obvious stones out. And it gets down to where they just have the dirty metal stone mixed in it. And they put it in a pot, and they begin turning up the heat. And the impurities will come up to the surface. And the refiner will skim them off. until they stop coming up. And then it'll turn up the heat and turn up the pressure some more. And more impurities will come up. And they'll be skimmed off, cleaned off until they stop coming up. And then it'll turn up the heat and pressure some more. Sometimes you feel like God is putting a whole lot of pressure on us, don't you? Praise God, I've had a whole bunch of impurities that God has already gotten rid of. Praise God, He's not done.
Amen.
Praise God, I continue to experience pressure and heat and turmoil. And things come up and I recognize the ugliness. I recognize the impurities. I recognize what a mess I still am. But I trust that God is faithful and He's not turning up the heat and pressure just to have fun. He's turning it up, the heat and pressure, to make me more like Jesus. To make me a faithful witness. Because He's already shown Himself faithful in so many different ways. You can already look back at things that I have done, the things that God has brought me out of that I've been able to testify about and see it work in other people's lives. God is faithful. We trust by looking back and seeing that God is faithful. Learning to trust the Lord is just coming to the point where we say, every time I try to fix it, I mess it up. But Lord, when I take my hands off of it, when I take control off of it, when I do what we said at the very beginning, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. When I stop trying to control it, I find that God is faithful. When I stop trying to control it, I find I can trust Him. Just like Paul. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed against that day. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your Word. You have shown Yourself faithful in every area of our lives. You have shown Yourself faithful every time. Lord, things haven't always gone the way we expected or even the way we hoped. But Lord, as we look back in our lives, we can see that there's never been a moment that You've deserted us. There's never been a moment that You've ignored us. There's never even been a time, Father, that You've taken Your hand off of us. You have shown Yourself faithful in every area, and we give praise and thanks for that. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.